sir?
What?
I have your steak ready, sir.
Yes, of course. Excellent, excellent. One moment. Is it cubed?
Well, Hargreaves?
Yes, sir. Of course. Of course. I should never have doubted you, Hargreaves.
Not at all, sir.
Why, hello there, dear friends. Lord Egerton Green on the line once again. You know, an old friend of mine once described the internet at about this season as nothing more than a gopher-like horde of ravenous gamers simply lusting after any cast-off E3 exclusive table scraps that they could sink their foul yellowing teeth into. He was a somewhat colourful gentleman in that regard. But he was clear to add that although they were generally served, more or less, with what they desired, it was not the rich, tasty news morsel that touched upon parched lips. Merely a rather bland mixture of half-regurgitated and, not to mention, utterly malodorous slop, devoid of all flavour, which was then forcibly rammed into their pitifully grateful gullets. Speaking of which... Excellent. Now, in my time as a gaming connoisseur, I have always noted, unfortunately, I might add, that I've been able to count all the really notable sites on the internet using just the one hand. And of all those digits available, it is surely the thumb that is the most unique. Clenching the hand with a thumb held staunchly above the knuckles, what we produce is a fist of righteous gaming fury, so pure in its absolute power that no force on earth could possibly prevent its inevitable and deadly descent. Well, tonight, dear listeners, friends, I have two brave fellows at hand ready to deliver that furious blow. Allow me to present my finest comrades, my lords Marek Bronstring and James Spafford.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Mr. Green. My name is Merrick, and with me is Spaff.
As always.
All right. This is the second Idle Thumbs podcast, or Thumbcast, I guess. The first one wasn't so good, right?
Whatever, man. That's our first attempt at making one.
Yeah.
Whatever. Screw you guys.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the whole introduction of the first podcast got even cut off, so it started really weird.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, we were uncomfortable. Whatever.
Tell everyone about your crazy setup right now.
Okay, so yeah, I couldn't get the mic working. Yesterday, it sucked. I had to use the built-in mic, and today I had about 18 microphones. Actually, it wasn't about 7, but now I have a guitar amp. I have the microphone plugged into a guitar amp. The headphone socket for that plugged into my line in, so it's a bit extreme.
Excellent.
But it'll hopefully sound better.
So yesterday I was talking about the Wii games that have been announced, and I was saying that there was a lack of weird games, apart from WarioWare, you know, and I mentioned Trauma Center, and I was wondering why it wasn't on the Wii, and actually that has just been announced, and it's called Trauma Center Second Opinion, which I think is a great title.
A thumb's favorite. But that's
and,
awesome, though.
Yeah, I really like. I'm really glad that that's part of the first wave of Wii games, because that's such a great, just such a perfect fit, really. And I look really forward to playing that.
I love that on DS so much.
Yeah, it's a great game.
The only complaint that I've heard, it's not one of mine, is that the characters in it are too static. They're not, like, animated. You don't feel they're part of the game.
Right.
Like, Alex was saying that earlier, and I know that you've said that before.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think it's an issue in the DS game, but I looked at the screens of the Wii version, and
I think you can see them on, was it justpause.com or something? I think they've got the
yeah.
GameSpot as well, if you want to
check
them out.
I think
so. They look really good.
There was an obscure link somewhere, but I think it looks a little bit flat for a console game, but maybe that's just me. It's high res, of course, but you know the characters are just these flat panels basically that sort of slide in. It doesn't seem like it's really taking advantage of the fact that it's on a console. But
you don't really need them to be anything. It's like they're a comic book. You know, they're
right.
comic book. You don't even need that story. It's an arcade game. It's the game that matters with Trauma Center, which is great. I played the DS one when I first got it for about 8 hours straight, with people mopping my brow and getting me 15 cc's of Glenlivet stat.
You know what I really like
the rocks.
About Trauma Center is the extreme pose that the doctor has every time. You know.
Oh, he rules.
Oh yeah, I think it's.
I will operate, dude.
He's a favorite of Chris as well. The extreme pose is just.
I forget his name actually right now, which is annoying. But they haven't confirmed if he's going to be in the second one. But it looks like the doctor and it's the same guy, and I imagine it would be the same.
Yeah, guy.
No, I haven't actually finished that game, so I don't know if there's some kind of extreme ending where he blows off or dies or something.
Me
but
neither. I don't know.
I will find out later when I play the end level.
And that orchestra conductor game that Miyamoto was playing is actually a game, isn't it? It's been
So there were two games in the reel of Wii footage.
Yeah.
There were two like actions you saw people doing that you've never seen footage of games for, and one was conducting, which was that Miyamoto prancing around.
It's a little
and the
adorable.
Other one was
Yeah,
you saw that finally?
Yes, it was. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
he looked like a kid in a tuxedo, basically.
He is a big kid. But yeah, the other one was the cooking one, so the MasterChef one. So there's those two awesome games that are coming out.
MasterChef is going to be fun for the whole family, really. Because it sounds like an original game that I want to play as a hardcore gamer, you know, but, you know. Other people will be interested in it as well. People will also play Nintendogs.
Can you picture your parents playing MasterChef or Orchestra?
Well, absolutely, because my mom actually played Nintendogs, and it was amazing to me because she can't even use the TV remote. She is, you know, not really, very good with technology, so it was really absurd seeing her play this game on a DS. And she actually liked it. She really enjoyed it. So, that's really what Nintendo is about right now. And
I don't know if I can envision my parents playing any of those games, I said, but I know that what would be awesome is a fishing game, or maybe the fishing game part of Link. Like, imagine sitting there with your dad on the sofa, like, with two Wii remotes, you got like a pack of beers, and you can sit there like on a virtual fishing trip. That's awesome.
That would be great.
Like,
yes.
Just hanging out with your dad, chatting, pretending to fish. I don't know. The other games? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But I love the wide range. I mean, they also announced Duck Hunt, right? So that's great.
Yeah, that's a blast from the past, and it's a perfect fit.
Which is, again perfect.
Yeah. It's great. All those old classics are suddenly relevant again. That's amazing.
And with Duck Hunt, they announced like a prototype of a light gun attachment for the Wii remote.
Yes, I saw that picture on the internet. Yes, the internet.
There's one on, is it on joystick? I think there's a good picture of it. But it's like literally a handle that you clip the Wii Remote into, and then you have a thumbstick on the back, and then you use the normal trigger. Yeah, I wondered if that could become a complete replacement for the, well, not a complete replacement, but an alternate way of playing an FPS. So if you could use that thumbstick on the back instead of the nunchuck, I don't know, because the nunchuck apparently has other motion sensing things in it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's possibly a way. I mean, imagine playing an FPS with just a gun. That would be kind of cool. It's like an old arcade game or something, like Operation Wolf or, you know.
They should have a Time Crisis House or whatever. Dead.
Yeah, House of the Dead, Time Crisis.
Yeah.
Virtua Cop, all those classic.
That would be great.
Light gun games.
So I was thinking that we could talk for a bit about adventure games, actually. Because
your favorite topic.
Yes. did you hear this? I'm actually the founder and publisher of AdventureGamers.com.
Did you found that? And I hear you published that.
Yes, I published it, and I founded it. Fact. okay, so to the listeners, that's actually something that was in my signature for a while, and people have been repeating it forever. Anyway.
A long time.
Yes. There have been a lot of announcements of graphic adventures that are actually somewhat exciting and not shit, which is something that pleases me a lot. There's Phoenix Wright 2, which is coming to DS early next year, which is awesome. There's going to be 4 new cases, and it has a life bar now, so that when you are, you know, presenting your case or whatever, or interviewing the suspects or whatever, you gain points for doing the right stuff and lose life points for asking the wrong questions. And there is also what they call a psyche lock, which I don't really know. You know, a psyche lock, but apparently
a psych lock.
Yes, you have to penetrate their psychic barriers or whatever in your questioning of the witnesses. What the hell are you doing?
Just pouring a whiskey.
All right. Well, you're doing very lively.
Sorry.
It's going to be huge whiskey. All right.
There you go. There's another ice.
So another game that was announced, was Touch Detective, which...
Is that another game called Touch Dick?
No. It's Touch Detective.
Come on. they call detectives private dicks, right?
Right. So, okay. Okay.
Touch your private dick.
Nice.
Whatever, like, I am a childish man. Whatever.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Shut the fuck up.
Brilliant.
And yeah, there's a third DS game that's been announced, which is from the makers of Another Code, which I know some people didn't really like, but I thought it was awesome. And the new game is called Hotel Dusk.
Okay, so I actually saw that, a bit of it. It looks really weird.
It looks really cool, and what I really like is that you hold the DS as a book. They did that with Brain Age, and this is another game that's doing it, so you hold the DS the wrong way, basically, and it's very very nice.
So you put it sideways?
Yes. And it really works very, very well. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but it feels good. Apparently the game is about an ex-cop turned salesman trying to track down a missing friend. Apparently the sort of the premise is sort of the same. You're going to a house and you have to investigate it, and there is a secret room. And it's sort of the same as Another Code, except it seems less oriented towards children this time. Although Another Code did have a very mature story, I think. Mature as in, you know, it had some depth to it. So I'm really looking forward to this game.
I think you love mature gaming as a buzzword at the moment, Mario.
Oh, I said it in the last podcast too, didn't I? Yes. Mature. All right.
You think you're mature when you're anything but. You love Touch Dick.
All right.
It is a great year for adventure gaming. I mean, that's all most of the Thumb stuff have come from like an adventure gaming fan background, either
yes,
through Mojo
yeah.
or through AG.
Exactly.
Not everyone, but you know, you and me and Jake especially.
But all of us have sort of gotten bored with the genre, and
it's not until now that I
feel really excited about it again, because Telltale is doing things like the new 7 Max episodic series that's been announced.
All right, yeah, another adventure game.
Yeah. And actually a series that's going to be monthly, I think. That's great. There's going to be a lot of 7 Max games coming out, just small games.
Yeah, with different case files.
Yeah, exactly. And 7 Max is perfect for that, because if you know the comics or even the television show, which wasn't so great, but it had a couple of good episodes, you know that every case can be just some weird, different thing, like they go to Egypt or they go to space or whatever. It doesn't really matter. So
they can pretty much reinvent the game
exactly.
from the ground up. That's cool. I mean, yeah.
They can do anything, really.
And they're also releasing another Bone. Are they carrying with Bone?
Yeah. I have heard...
I didn't play Bone.
...good things about the second episode. I haven't played it yet, I have to say. I only played the demo. And I'm sort of impressed with the increase in quality that they've shown.
I had to buy it off someone that thought it was a great name for a porn site.
We get so many hits from porn sites on Idle Thumbs.
That's true.
Like
we'll do a
roundup.
Our
list of Google search engine search terms is just full of just.
I like.
Was
it
stuff.
Like how to steal cars is still up there.
Yes. A lot of people go to our site for information on how to steal cars.
Yep.
What the fuck?
hopefully we you know. Tell them how to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully they stick around and get gaming news.
They will be disappointed.
They
yeah.
get a slap in the face from the gaming fist of fury.
Nice. Hey, so let's talk about Microsoft, because we haven't talked about Microsoft at all.
Oh, yeah, so
they
yesterday
have...
when we signed off, they were about to have their conference, and then
yeah.
what happened is I missed it completely because I was trying to mix the podcast and publish the other podcast and all that stuff. Which reminds me of being at E3, actually. Like,
yeah.
when you're actually there, you have no fucking time to do anything, and you end up missing everything.
Oh, it's horrible.
But
I
have more time, but I'm spending it doing more quality things, I guess. We're producing a
yeah.
podcast. We'd never have been able to do that if we were actually there.
Yeah.
It would have
exactly.
been a failure. We would have
the
been
irony
dead.
Of E3 is that if you're actually there, you see less... of the announcements and screenshots and videos that are being put out there.
Yeah, because you're in there.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
it's all happening around you. And until you come outside, then like you have to go to the media room and then you start reading GameSpot or whatever, and you're like, oh, really? I'm going to go and check that out.
Yes.
But,
yeah,
I mean, it's only 2 p.m. there, so it's only just kicking off on the first day
yeah.
right now. It's only just... You know, everyone will go in, and then they spend the morning at least, everyone will just be overwhelmed, look at everything they want to do. Everyone's probably going to play Wii.
Yeah.
I still can't call it Wii, it's horrible. Everyone's going to go and play the Nintendo, and then we'll start seeing a lot more things appear from now and for the next 12 hours, I guess for the next 3 days.
Yeah.
Solid. But
well,
right now, it's a bit, they've slowed down since the...
Friday is kind of Kentia Hall day, is my impression.
Yeah, like everyone runs out of shit to do, and then you go to Kentia Hall. I'm really looking forward to some Kentia Hall, investigations. I'm hoping Jake is actually there.
Yes.
Hopefully he will
go
down.
Last year we were going to do a video segment called the Kentia Hall Safari, weren't we?
Yeah.
We forgot to do that.
We actually had an explorer's hat and a moustache. But we never actually, we never donned it and went down there. I mean, the video that we released, it was sadly unfinished, which is, you know.
Yeah.
But
we apologize.
It is good quality, and I wish we had released it, but there's so much more that there's like twice as much content we filmed. Like, that's just bollocks, and there's actually content. I conducted so many interviews and demos of games.
Yeah.
and random other things, and it's.
We should go back next year and do a proper job, and see if we can beat.
Don't make any promises.
2005.
Don't make any promises.
Shit. We'll bleep that out.
Yeah, I'll find a good bleep for that. Maybe.
All right.
I don't know what.
Nice.
But anyway,
so let's talk about
Microsoft. Yeah, Microsoft.
Did you see Blue Dragon?
I'm just eating a donut.
What are you doing?
Having a donut.
Nice.
I'll cut this out.
Or we'll leave it in. This is fascinating material.
True. It's a chocolate-covered donut, a mini donut. Let it whole. So I missed the entire Microsoft contest, but I did see the Blue Dragon trailer.
Yeah, it was kind of cool, wasn't it? It's like...
Yeah.
Like the 60s robots were walking around. And
I thought it was very much like Studio Ghibli meets the Iron Giant in 3D.
If you like Beyond Good and Evil, it's sort of
artistically
same,
at least. It didn't have any gameplay that I saw. Like, I don't know if they explained what it was about in the conference, but it just had some CG. And the CG, it looked a bit like Astro Boy style character design, or maybe Dragon Ball, like Dragon Quest 8 style characters in them, but big huge robots and evil glowing eyes and war, but in a cute kind of cool way, like Ghibli would do.
So they also announced Fable 2,
which excites me. I enjoy the first one a lot. I haven't seen anything yet. I tried to get the trailer, but I couldn't download it. That GameSpot has been owned, so. And everything else, I keep...
The trailer was not that interesting. It was like a girl saying some shit.
Was there a tree that grew up with you as you aged? Was there any Molyneux hype? Was there any bullshit from Molyneux's mouth that fell onto the...
Molyneux was sitting in the audience and was not allowed to talk, which is a very wise choice.
But I want to hear him speak crap. I love it when he just becomes outlandish and...
Yeah, he was only allowed to stand up and receive a modest applause. So
he was allowed to stand up and receive applause.
Yes,
that's so bizarre.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it was scripted or not. You just said Peter Moore said, "Hey, there's a model who's sitting in the audience, give him a hand or whatever."
So who actually presented the conference? Was it Bill Gates down there?
Bill Gates was there at the end to announce the whole unified vision that they have for Windows Vista, Windows Mobile stuff, and Xbox Live, which is going to be one integrated ball of networking goodness, whatever.
So like Xbox Live for Windows?
Yeah, it's going to be all seamlessly integrated, so you can have your gamer profile on Vista and the same profile on your mobile phone and the same profile on your Xbox.
So does that mean you can play PC games against 360? So like Huxley, for instance, which is the same on both?
Not all games, but if they're enabled for that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. The console gamers would just be owned.
Yep.
They would be reamed. If it's FPS, anyway, it's just got no chance. Like when that happened with... And that's not the first time this has happened. Like Dreamcast, Quake... You could go on with the Dreamcast, you'd go on to a PC server and you could play against a PC gaming. Yeah. So,
oh, man.
Another thing that Dreamcast was ahead of its time, you know, the you could do that. And you would be owned because you're using crappy console.
Yeah.
Yeah, controls. But nevertheless, that's really good connectivity. That's great.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
So is that like MSN that they've done? I know I heard MSN.
MSN is also going to be integrated, and Hotmail and everything is going to be one big thing. I don't know how it's going
to
be integrated.
I mean, Xbox Live is a good service. I don't use it much, but I know that it is good. It is fully supported, and it works. And the requirements they have for each game, each game must adhere to certain requirements, and that's brilliant, and it works really well, as opposed
and
to Sony, which had the worst online ever.
Yeah.
And now apparently has none.
Also, what excites me is Peter Moore once again saying that they want to have sort of the Sundance of gaming on Xbox Live Arcade, and then as I guess 100 studios that I'd never heard of.
100?
Yeah, 100 indie studios.
That's more than I thought they were going to announce.
Yeah, it's a lot, and they're going to, you know, put up a lot of classic arcade games from the past, which is also kind
of
cool.
So they're kind of like, matching on that scale. They're matching the Nintendo back catalog.
Yeah, with all sorts of, like, Konami and, you know, all these companies are sort of using their back catalogs and putting it on Xbox Live. And,
am I right in thinking Sega are going to put their back catalog on Xbox Live? I know they're going to put it on Revo.
Yeah, I
think I heard something about that, but I couldn't be sure. That would be, I don't know, that's cool.
Peter Moore said something about his good friends from Sega, blah, 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 something with Sonic. I don't... Might have been a new Sonic game. I don't
you
even remember.
You weren't paying attention. You suck.
Totally not.
Reem Marek for not remembering the quote.
Yes.
So,
oh, man. Oh, yeah. We're going to get Forum Reimage, of course.
Yeah, we will. I mean, we could read some comments on the forums in a minute, actually. But where was Allard? Was Allard there? I want to know what Allard
No, happened. Allard was gone.
What
Allard is nowhere to be found.
How can
and
Allard
legend
be gone?
Very good question. There was a bet, wasn't there? Like,
I was really looking forward to Allard, yeah, because there was a rumor that he had lost a bet that he had to wear a dreadlock wig for the entire month of May 2006, including the conference, and everyone was really looking forward to seeing it. I mean, obviously Bill Gates would have been like, no, but yeah, it would have been cool if he had at least come on wearing it or something to acknowledge it, but the thing he lost it for was something about... PSP will never sell as fast as PS2 did, or something like that.
Right.
I'll find the original. I'll put it as a source when we publish this podcast. I'll put it
cool.
as a link so people can find that. But yeah, I really wanted to see him. So he didn't turn up.
No, allegedly Allard is working on the Microsoft handheld that apparently is being made. Well, we all know it. So yeah, it's being made, and Allard is leading
me.
The division.
That doesn't excite me in the slightest, but
no.
Whatever.
It would probably have been good excites Microsoft a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the whole presentation was basically being done by Peter Moore, except for the ending, which was done by Bill Gates. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but Peter Moore has a Halo 2 tattoo on his right arm.
He does?
Yes.
That is embarrassing.
There's a picture of him showing it, and it's like a classic picture. It just appears in every Microsoft-related thread on places like Gasp and other forums.
We can add that to the page when we publish it as well.
We should, yes.
Also, as a chapter right now in the podcast, if you're watching this in iTunes, look down the bottom there, and you will see it.
Awesome. I'm mentioning this because he took off his jacket. He showed this tattoo, and then he showed his other arm, and it had a GTA 5 or what
GTA
number 4. Are we at?
GTA 4.
Whatever.
It's actually
GTA
like
4.
GTA 7 or something, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It confuses me.
But it's official
me.
Name,
anyway,
GTA 4. It doesn't actually have a... Well, the other ones were like your GTA 3 and then GTA 3 Vice City, GTA 3 San Andreas. So this
no,
is,
they just dropped the numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess this is now an entirely new engine, whereas the other ones were slight improvements, I guess.
Right,
now,
exactly.
This would have to be a massive improvement or, I don't know, a different direction or something.
I don't know.
I really like GTA games a lot. I really do. So,
yeah.
When they come out on PC,
I like them
anyway.
Too. But I'm getting really tired of them, especially with Liberty Stories and Vice City Stories coming up. And it's
Vice
gonna
City Stories is that Vice City the PSP?
Yep.
Is that a new game in Vice City
mm-hmm.
in the same play? Oh, okay. That's kind of making it, I guess.
Yeah, and Liberty City Stories is also coming out for PS2. So
yeah, I would.
They're just
again,
milking
I would play
it,
but only when they come to PC.
Yeah,
San Andreas bored me. It wasn't as good, but I would still play them. I really, really enjoyed them.
Right.
I want to hear more about Bully, and so far there's nothing.
Yeah, I think they might be canceling it or something. There's been
no.
It seemed like a really shitty concept, and everyone is against it. And
everyone's against it. It's not a shitty concept at all. It's an awesome concept. What, you running around a school making mischief? Come on,
I don't think that's cool.
There's no game like that.
Cool, but I doubt that that's the direction they were actually going. I think they're more going for the sort of the extreme version of it, and not necessarily the fun version of it. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, a school kid game, like, you know, even going back to, and in England we have a comic called The Beano that everyone read when we were like 10. And it had like Dennis the Menace and the Bash Street Kids and things like that. And it was just like classics, like, you know, catapults and firing things like ink blots off rulers and stuff and making mischief, you know, and running away from teachers and things. And like, if it was like some kind of classic game like that, I mean, they are English developers. They're Scottish.
That as a Nintendo game, I would love it. But that as a Rockstar game, I'm not sure.
We'll see. I'd like to hear more. And I'm hoping that they have something about it there at the show. I guess we'll find out in about 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Someone will probably have something about it.
Did you see LucasArts' lineup this year?
yes,
by the way, we should
did.
Mention to everyone that we, you know, we were involved in many LucasArts fan sites.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I was for a long time. Oh dear! I love those guys, and we bonded.
Yeah.
We had a really good bond with them, and obviously most Idle Forum goers will know. Like, you know, they're all fans of Schaefer and Gilbert.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
People like that who've left there. They have nothing left. Their E3 lineup. It's like a massive knife to the heart. It's not even that. It's like a, I don't know, like a laser from space straight into your brain. Causing pain.
Did you see
amount of cool things that they could do now that we exist? Like, where the hell is the Star Wars lightsaber game? Where the fuck is the Wii Indiana Jones whip game? Like, he could.
You know what?
What freaks me out most is
the fact that they're trying to be cool right now. They've got the Traxion, which is
like
a music game.
Why don't you list every single game they have? I mean, if you go right now to LucasArts.com. You've got Lego Star Wars 2, like, fine, great, that's awesome, brilliant.
Cool.
Indiana Jones, which has a trailer which is just, what is that trailer?
Yeah, what
it has,
the fuck?
Yeah, Thrillville. Now, this is where we get to, Thrillville.
This is where it gets good. It's for PS2, PSP, and Xbox One, isn't it? And it's a roller coaster game that isn't Theme Park or Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, so it's basically a massive rip-off of both of those games.
And the trailer is bizarre.
Yeah.
The trailer starts with, like, these cutout characters, like, these photographic materials that are cut out and stuff. Like, it seems almost like the introduction to an MTV show or whatever. What is it about? Like, some guy says, yeah, I've got two dreams, and my first dream is being stranded on an island with my favorite band, pizza, and cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah,
and my other dream is to have a theme park.
I tell you what, I've loaded that up. Why don't we hear it right now? Here we go.
All right.
My name's Mike, and I keep having the same two dreams over and over. And one, stranded on an island, with my favorite band, lots of pizza.
Oh, man. Cheerleaders.
My dream never ends like I hope. In my other dream, I get the keys to a theme park, and I am in charge of everything. I start out building the biggest, baddest roller coaster in the world. Something that would totally freak out my friends.
I think
I put in Monster Loop.
Oh man, I'm totally psyched.
I think I wet myself.
The biggest, baddest roller coaster.
But not in a good way. Oh dear, that is the worst LucasArts game since fucking RTX Red Rock.
Hey, original IP, alright.
Thrillville, way to go.
This is gonna be the new Star Wars.
If you hate LucasArts, then this is the time to go and watch their trailers on LucasArts.com. They also have Traxion.
Oh, yeah.
There's no screenshots from Traxion or anything. It seems to be a sound-based game where the sound changes the gameplay. Like, jumping on the Lumines, or Luminae's bandwagon,
It seems actually kind of cool, but
yeah, that's cool. Viv Ribbon, or
it's by Kuju Entertainment, but why is LucasArts publishing it? This,
if it was anything like Viv Ribbon, then it would be amazing. But
right.
I bet it's not. But I would like to see more about this. This is a, you know, it looks kind of shitty. It's trying to be cool. It's by Kuju, who, I don't know, they made, what's it called? Advance Wars thingy on the GameCube.
Yeah.
But whatever, I'd like to see more, but I bet it sucks. I bet you when it comes out, it's just shit. And then the other two games they have in their lineup are Emperor at War, Forces of Corruption. Like, fine, whatever. If you liked Emperor at War, there's now an expansion, I guess. And Star Wars Galaxies? Like, that's already out. Is this a new... It doesn't have a new...
I did hear that LucasArts has... their booth at E3 is like 3 times bigger than it usually is. Which is... What? They have 5 games.
Really?
Yeah. It's 3 times bigger than... they've got more... floor space, like that whole.
So have they got that? They haven't got that same room again. Like they usually get a room just off the side by the bar there, which is really useful.
Right. They've got all the rooms there now, I guess. So, not just that one.
And they have nothing. They have nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's pretty hilarious.
It doesn't even have any gameplay. It just looks.
Yeah.
I guess Lego Star Wars 2 though, awesome.
That's gonna rock.
Awesome, but.
Yeah.
Where, like I say, where is Star Wars Wii? Where is Indiana Jones Wii? Imagine whipping with that, with the thing, and then turning to a gun. Whatever. Screw you.
Here's the thing. Where is a good game? There. There's nothing really exciting in their lineup. It's sad. Anyway, we should talk about the next podcast, because we're just about done here.
So I guess, as I say, it's only like partway through the day at E3 day one. In LA right now, and by
hopefully
tomorrow,
we can get Jake on, who is actually at the show. We're gonna try that. No promises,
he's there,
of course.
He's there
but
with Remo, working for Shaq News, like a. Oh. Screw that guy.
He betrayed
anyway,
us.
Yeah, if we can get him to come on, that would be awesome.
All right.
And tell us what he's actually doing. But also, I imagine a lot more. I want to see a lot more PC gaming. MMOs, maybe. Not just Wii.
We've been talking way too much about Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually
they
been
rule,
looking
but,
for other things,
you know.
And I can't find them. There's a few Microsoft things. There's Halo 3, MGS4, and all that crap that I don't care about, but I want to see some non-Nintendo things. So that's what hopefully will be there tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow, then.
See you then. Okay, so, as a special segment, I've managed to track down Ben Andak, the infamous pirate of Idle Thumbs, the one-eyed Sega fanatic genius. And one thing me and Marek discussed was that of all the conferences we've been having, there was one major player missing. So Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft... the old school adversary of Nintendo and everyone's favorite, Sega, no longer has a gaming conference. And it would be a tragedy not to check out what they've been up to this year. And who better to ask than Ben? So, Ben.
Hello.
What can we expect from Sega this year?
Quite a lot, really. There won't be any... fake Megatons as there were a couple of years ago.
We love Sega's Megaton. We always love Sega's Megaton. And that got us all wetting our pants in the prospect of new hardware.
Wedding and then
you're publishing Matrix Online? Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite underwhelming.
I think that's an understatement as well. So.
Possibly an insult to understatement. That's how bad that was. But this year, I think... After last year Sega got quite a lot of good hype and press from their E3 presentation. I recall you and I sneaking into the E3 Sega closed door preview.
And I filmed it illegally by mistake. I didn't realise I was.
Yeah, We did that by mistake, but we never released it, so it was okay.
But we saw Chrome Hounds. Is that going to be at E3 this year?
Yeah, it is. Chrome Hounds is going to be there. Basically, a lot of titles that were shown last year are being shown this year. They've been announced in the lead up to E3 as part of this road to E3.
The road to E3, a classic.
Yeah. Classic
marketing.
A
motivation. Yeah, I mean, I remember LucasArts doing a similar thing before. And
It's quite good. It involves, or it has involved, releasing a press release and an announcement about a new title that will be at E3 by Sega every day from the end of April. It was around like 24th, 25th of April. I think the first game announcement was made, which was Virtual Tennis 3.
Virtual Tennis 3 is, I mean, Virtual Tennis, as you know, that we're a big fan. Like me and Nick and a few other friends, Bob. And
well,
you,
the old Dreamcast version.
Yeah, I mean, Virtual Tennis 1. I mean, Virtual Tennis 2 never got us. Virtual Tennis PSP, we enjoyed for a bit, but it's still all about Dreamcast Virtual Tennis. So I guess Virtual Tennis 3 is kind of almost exciting if in the future we ever end up with a next-gen console in the sense of a PS3 or a 360. Like, none of us have one.
Yeah,
have
I mean,
one.
One of the things they haven't announced yet is that as part of this road to E3 is Virtual Tennis 3 for the Revolution. That would be really cool, obviously, for obvious reasons.
But, I mean, they already have a tennis game. It's just kind of poor planning. Like, they should have got in there, or, you know, they should have got in there and made a deal rather than, you know, we have this tennis game, but it would have been cooler if that was Virtua Tennis.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised about, I mean, way pre E3, I'm talking like 8 months ago. I mean, some of the readers on the site might have recognized, I know, you know, I got a chance to play the Revolution a year ago, when Nintendo kind of brought it into Sega and was kind of showing it around to developers and publishers around the world at the time. And, you know, there was a lot of excitement, and Nintendo, you know, were really looking to companies like Sega to support them at the C3. So I was personally quite surprised to not see more Wii titles from Sega announced for E3. I think the biggest amount of titles that have been announced so far are going to be on PlayStation 3 instead. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised about that, but I think Sega is still kind of dedicated or very much into the Wii, especially with the legacy content and the old stuff. You know,
but they have got some games on Wii this year.
They've got, yeah, I mean, two of the main ones are, or two of the only ones, in fact, are Super Monkey Ball, Banana Blitz.
Super Wii Ball.
Yeah. it's going to be pretty much more of the same, but obviously utilizing the controller. But more exciting than that is Sonic Wildfire.
How does that work? Because whilst that excites me, because I love Sonic, but no Sonic game's really been good for a long time in 3D, so...
Yeah, I mean, we've got to face it. It's never quite worked in 3D. I think you'd have to be very... stubborn not to agree to that. So, you know.
But do you say the Revolution version, the Wii version, is more intuitive? Would you say it was good? Would you say?
Yeah, it's basically, they've gone back to basics. Really, they've got rid of all the complex controls that inevitably come with a normal conventional controller. And although I hesitate to say it's on the rails, it's kind of got that element to it with Wildfire, where you hold the Wii controller and kind of tilt it left and right while Sonic goes on this almost predetermined path.
It kind of projects you forward and you spin left, right,
so focus,
up, down.
It focuses on the speed and you simply have to kind of generally direct him to get the pick up rings and jump on the enemies.
So it's kind of like Sonic 2's bonus stage in the pipe, in the half pipe kind of thing, where you really can't stop. But okay, that's cool. I could see that working in a 3D way, I guess. As long as hit anything and stop. You know, you have to keep going. That's cool.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, it's always been the thing with Sonic, and one of the main things they've kind of got wrong in recent years with the 3D stuff, which is you just you can have all the stuff you want, but really the only thing you need and the only thing you need to ensure is in there is speed and a flow, because that's really what that, you know, it's shallow gaming, but it's fun. It just needs to be fast, and that's it. You can't stop and start. And I think Wildfires, which I think is a working title. I don't think it's the actual final title.
That seems like a weird Sonic title, but then again, they have had shitty game titles in the past.
They could just call it Sonic 4 or something, because it is essentially a continuation of the original, because it's the first kind of Sonic-only title in many years.
That's cool. So it's just Sonic? It's not like a billion crappy characters like Bean the Dynamite and Reginald the Penguin or I don't know.
No. No,
Francis the Seagull. But, okay. So
Was he in
that's cool. What, Reginald the Seagull? Probably. I don't know.
No, you said Francis the Seagull.
I don't know. I'm making it. Whatever. Bean the Dynamite is real, though, and he's my favorite Sonic Fighters character, so screw you. He's my favorite because everything else is like whatever the animal, and he's a Bean the Dynamite. It makes no sense.
Yeah, he's like, there's no animal.
He's a kick-ass duck.
He's a bean. So, he's like, yeah.
He has a hammer, and Sonic dies, and no one ever plays Sonic the Fighters with me because it's shit.
Don't say that.
Whatever,
I
have
that.
You tested that? Holy crap.
I had to test the classics version.
That's the version I have. So, what else from Sega? Non-Wii, non-DS. Is there any new gen stuff? Like, old licenses renewed?
Yeah, one of the major three announcements that were made just on, I think it was on Monday, was Golden Axe.
Golden Axe, a classic.
Yeah.
I played that for many hours, trying to kill the boss guy.
Yeah.
Shit, what was his fucking name?
Oh,
We Are Owned.
Oh, man. No. It felt as bad as the time Bob didn't know who Super Sonic was.
Dude, Bob doesn't know who Super Sonic is, and, but we've no, we can't. Come on, it's We can cover this bit up. I can actually cut this bit out of the podcast, and no one will know that we forgot
who
the bad guy in Golden Axe was.
My entire reputation as a Sega fanboy will be destroyed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on the tip of my tongue as well.
Well, anyway.
Anyway,
what's been your highlight of E3 so far?
I'll probably have to agree with Mario because it's part of the Nintendo conference. I like the little impromptu. Wasn't impromptu actually. They had it planned because they had the Avatar tennis match. The tennis match was pretty awesome
with Iwata and Reggie, and Miyamoto and random guy called Steve or something.
Scott, I think his name.
Scott, you remember his name?
I was rooting for the guy that was sitting in front of him, that big fat Asian dude with ginger hair.
I would have loved a huge fat guy to come up on stage. I wonder how they chose that. I wonder if it was random or if they were like they had to vet it. I don't know. There were so many people. It would have been fucking hilarious if they were up there. Fat people, ugly weirdos, and they were like cripples. Awesome. Like imagine if it had been like and. It's this wheelchair guy. It's like, oh, shit. But then at the same time, it would have then illustrated the point that someone in a wheelchair could play tennis anyway. So that,
yeah.
I guess, I'm
that would
unfair.
Have been, would have been,
but it
yeah.
still would have been funny. Another that would have been horrible. Answer. Yeah. Or someone with no arms or something. Like, oh, crap. But,
I think, I actually quite like Zelda, to be honest, but I've never been
Zelda?
A fan of Zelda. Yeah, this is like my gaming sin. I've never really played a Zelda game.
No, that is a gaming sin, I guess.
Yeah,
you should at least played one.
I played a bit of Wind Waker, but
Wind Waker is cool, but it's not.
It's okay.
It's good. I like the art style a lot, but it's not.
Yeah.
The SNES one is the SNES ones are the classic, so you should
go
back.
I've got no real reason. There's no ration. There's no bad reason for not playing those games or liking them. They're just not my type of games. But I can still appreciate that they're good games. But the new Zelda looks... Twilight Princess looks really good.
Graphically, it looks dull. Like, I'm not into those. That Link is old.
And I didn't mean with graphics, I meant the whole bow and arrow thing is really good.
Yeah.
The Wii controller. That's...
So you're into the game mechanics, the kind of... You could almost say they were... what's the word? Like... I don't know.
Awesome. I don't know.
Gimmicks. Gimmicks. But
yeah,
they're not.
You could... No, that's the thing, you know. Reggie said at the end of the conference, he mentioned something about, you know, it's more than just seeing, you know, you've got to experience these things. And, having played the Revolution, the Wii, that's definitely something I can vouch for, because it's so hard to explain in words what it's like, how truly different, but yet how quickly comfortable and easy it becomes to use this thing, and how accurate it is. It just works on so many levels, the controller. As a player, I mean, forgetting the design possibilities and potentials for programmers and designers and what they could do with the controller, it's just so amazing to hold it, and you can't explain that. You really have to do it yourself, and then you'll know what it's like.
I mean, that's one thing that makes me sad about not being at E3 this year. Like, I kind of wish I was there. I wish I was there anyway. Whatever. Everyone wishes they were there.
Yeah.
I wish I was there to be kneed right in the balls by that huge gargantuan robot friend of ours.
I'm actually really looking forward to see, like, I want to get more impressions of PS3 gameplay, like show floor stuff that they have, because, you know, it's going
to
be interesting.
Looking forward to?
I am looking forward to it, not because I'm, you know, a Sony fanboy or anything. I want to see what the reaction is from the people on the show floor, because obviously everyone was excited by Nintendo conference, but someone made a good point just recently about, you know, that a lot of the most wanted things now, on day one of the shows is a lot of PS3 exclusive titles, a lot of PS3, you know, playable demos that are on the floor. So I'm excited to find out what's... It'll be interesting to see what they...
But as we're speaking, the end of E3 is approaching. I guess it's like the end of the day there now. So now is the time, from my experience at least, people will go back to the hotel, they'll have a drink, and then they'll report. So more reports will be coming in, I guess, for the next 3 days. Whatever, I've said that already, I think.
Yeah.
But
to bring it back to Sega... background. It's going to be a good show for Sega. They've got a lot of kind of major titles on all the platforms, and you know, they've been trying to remedy this whole thing since that Megaton and since the Sammy takeover, of trying to get things fixed, you know, treat their old IP properly and not, you know, rape it like they did with stuff like Altered Beast and Shadow, which we shouldn't speak of. Let's not get into that. You know, but
let's hope Golden Axe doesn't fail.
No, yeah, I mean, I think they're listening to, you know, the needs of the market,
yeah,
and
Darth, whatever his name was.
Darth. Oh, that's it. Darth. No, not Darth Adder. Death Adder.
Death Adder.
Death Adder.
Death Adder.
I think we should end the show now.
And on that bomb, we redeem ourselves. And
in your
we
face,
end...
Bob. In your face. You thought you were gonna
you
have
may not
like
know.
That.
And on that bomb, we will end this podcast. Good night.
Good night, everyone.